My name's Sophia Baranger and I'm here at the home of George and Ruth Barrett in Victoria Avenue, Claremont on the 24th of September 2004. I'm interviewing the Barretts as they are former residents of Hammond Road, Claremont, and on which I'm researching a street history. Could you please state your full names and when and where you were born?
Okay, I'm Ruth Margaret Barrett. I was born Ruth Margaret McWhinney, not very far away at Devonley Hospital in Anstey Street. Devonley Hospital isn't there anymore. When and where? 30th of November 1939.
I was born in South Perth on the 29th of September 1935, and my full name is George Edward Bernard Barrett.
Okay, great. I'll start by asking you some questions on the on your earliest times in Hammond Road. So when did you move to Hammond Road and why?
Okay. We had been away in England for just over a year in 1965, and we came back expecting a baby in late January, and we were expecting that my husband George would be going back to Greylands Teachers College, where he'd been teaching for some years. But the day before we got back, the day after we got back, we heard that he was to be transferred to Claremont Teachers College. So that was a little bit of a baptism of fire, and we looked for a home. We hadn't bought a home before we went away. We looked for a place within striking distance of Claremont Teachers College, and 27 Hammond Road came up. It was within our price range and was very convenient.
Mm.
And we moved there at Easter time in 1966.
Right. And can you tell me about this first house in Hammond Road? Who built it? Do you know, and when it was built?
It would have been built probably in the early 60s. The first owners were probably the people who designed it, and their name was Whitfield. Don't know anything more about them, but that they were transferred to Canberra after about 6 months of living in the place. They sold to John and Norma Winfield. John was, I think, a psychologist at UWA, and we were the third owners. It was very much what we called the Games Village House, very much on the sort of design of the places built for the Commonwealth Games at City Beach in so-called Games Village. So that was 62. So it was around that time. The salmon brick, the asbestos roof, and absolutely rectangular. Three bedrooms, one living room.
Okay.
The City Beach style was also a fairly open area, in that in the family areas, walls did not go to the ceiling. In other words, some walls went to certain height. So it was about a little bit open area, but of course the kitchen was separate.
Mm-hmm. We didn't actually have any half walls in that house, but that was the sort of style.
Okay. And did you make any changes to the house while you were there?
Yes, we did. When we were expecting our third child, the one child we were expecting turned out very unexpectedly to be twins, which we didn't know until after the first one was born. So that was a shock to the system. Then we had about 9 months away in 71. We went back to England with the two children. And in 72, when we were expecting our third, we extended the home forwards towards the street to give us then three bedrooms and a study.
Oh, okay. So it was originally two bedrooms?
It was two bedrooms and a study off the living room, and we built on two more rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some other internal rearrangements, which we undid a few years later, but that's another story. It gave us still only one living area, but it did give us four bedrooms plus study by the time we finished extending and extra bathrooms.
The extension that we did partly enclosed what had been the original entrance, and so the entrance became a little bit hidden. And we had a rather pretty wrought iron partition placed up, so that left the entrance still on the street. We thought from a security point of view it would be good to do that.
Oh, okay.
And we filled that entrance with quite some luscious ferns and things of that sort. And because the bathroom and shower joined that room, it created sort of a mist in there, and we were amazed how successful the plants grew in the area.
Mm.
Now, why I say this was that we were also keen gardeners, and our home became the subject of a garden program, which was then run by a chap called
Don Wilson,
that's right.
AKA Greenfingers.
And so our home in Hammond Road in those days was used for three programs, for a garden program, which was rather nice.
Aired on television,
was the last of the black and white series.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I suppose you don't have copies. Well, you do?
We have a video.
Oh, you do?
We have, I've got some movie film of the people doing the filming of it.
Oh, okay.
I have some movie film.
Oh, right.
And of the places, but we didn't ever get a copy of the television programs.
It was interesting in another sense too that our home was used as a garden program, because one of the Hammonds, who lived a little bit further down from us, was a collector of cacti, and he had a whole lot of glass houses and so on. So it was sort of a bit fitting in a way.
A nice garden connection.
It was a bit of a garden.
Oh, that's interesting. And what was the rest of the garden like? What kind of was it? A large block, or
no? It was a fairly small block. Mm-hmm. I can't remember in detail, but about 500 square meters, probably.
Yes.
Had quite a big shed on it, and when our youngest was probably 3 or 4, we put in an above ground swimming pool with safety mechanisms. It was a pleasant garden with some quite interesting features, including a very lovely flowering plum tree, which was a real feature.
Mm-hmm.
The downside was an extremely large Japanese pepper, which the children loved because it was a wonderful climbing tree, but of course they uproot everything inside and kill everything.
Next to that house was quite a large vacant block, which at that time I understood to be owned by somebody living in the country.
Mm.
But the block was quite interesting because it was just vacant land, and once or twice some sheep were put onto that block for a short period of time. But they were usually hassled by dogs and
get
in and chase them around. It was thick with lupins and tall grass.
But it was interesting to be in like a city suburb with sort of
sheep next door.
Oh, okay.
It was around show time. He was a farmer, and he used to bring them to the show.
So it was his land.
It was his land, yes. But that was almost all the land taken up by Hammond Mews, Hammond Close,
It
is at 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you moved to number 15
yes.
in 1977. Mm. Why did you decide to move?
More space.
More.
I was very keen on my gardening. And
so it was a bigger block?
Yes. It was a huge block. Yeah.
I also became interested in growing orchids, and so I wanted room for shade houses and hot houses. Things of that sort.
Okay.
So we went from a block which was about 770 something square metres to one which was 1566 square metres.
Mm.
So the block was almost double in size.
Mm-hmm.
But the building we bought was one of the original war service homes. This was at 15. And we bought it from the original owners.
That was
almost. We tried to buy it from the original owners. And the sale, there was an unfortunate happening in the sale. We had nothing signed, but someone was going to sign the papers a few days later. The lady there was blind, and we missed out. Someone came in with a cash offer. They told us about it on the Saturday morning and said, can you match it, which we couldn't.
Mm.
These days we probably would say, yes, we can, and then do the worrying, but at the time we couldn't. Think where are we going to get 66,000 late on a Saturday morning. So we lost the sale, but the people who bought it had it only for about a year, and it came on the market again. Chap and his wife couldn't agree on the kind of home they wanted to build on it and put it back on the market, and so we didn't hesitate. We thought, well, that's the one we want. We needed more space in a larger house. One living area for the three kids wasn't big enough, and we wanted more garden space.
Mm,
so where we were, we could have gone up, but we couldn't get any more garden area. So the one down the street was ideal.
And you liked staying, obviously, in Hammond
Road.
Oh,
well, the children were... But by then, the older two were at school, the younger one was just about to start. Yes,
yeah.
We had commitments in the area, including Claremont Museum, and, yeah, we wanted to stay there. And
yeah,
the kids could keep all their friends and stay at the same school. Mm.
So, how big was this, the original, the house you bought, number 15?
Well, it was tiny. It was really only four rooms, a main bedroom and what probably would have been a dining room, another bedroom and a sort of lounge living room. But the people had added verandas all the way around, so the kitchen was tiny. Even in the advertisement, it was called a galley. It had no power point, no hot water. The place where a wood stove was, had been, but no stove actually in the kitchen. It was just basically a sink.
Wow.
And not much else, so it was very run down. It was untouched really since 1920. So we did a lot of...
we knocked off all the back section,
right,
and built a two-storey addition.
But the four original rooms were good rooms. Good size, that was where it started and stopped. The bathroom was terrible, the kitchen was non-existent, and round the edge they'd sort of, as they had more and more children, they'd just sort of tacked on another sleep out. So,
And what was the house made of? Was it just
that was brick and tile, the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the many wooden additions. Mm.
And what about other original features like the laundry? Did you have the laundry
the
out the back?
Wash house out the back and a huge shed. I don't know that the shed had ever been used for stables, but they had five children and the guy was obviously something of a handyman and he had stable doors everywhere, so obviously could keep the kids out. They may have had horses. We've not actually heard that they did. But there was a large well in the back and that just worried me silly because it hadn't been properly made safe. So George and a friend shored it up with huge timber beams and we built a swimming pool before we actually started the extensions on the house, and they dumped all the soil from the swimming pool over where the well had been. And it was amazing, that huge pile. We had a big pool and the sand just gradually disappeared down the well. I don't think we ever took any away.
No. And what about a toilet? Was it an outside toilet?
Yeah, outside toilet. Although there was one in the house when we bought the house, but the original one was still there down the back. Mm.
The original house had a tennis court on the back. That's how big the block was. And we were led to believe that tennis parties were quite a feature of that home.
Was there any sign of the tennis court?
I took out the post that held the net.
Have some movie. We should look that up and see if that can be useful.
And there was a little gazebo come tennis.
Like a little pavilion.
As
well, which we also took out. It was very decrepit by the time we got to it.
Our neighbour, Mrs. Sinclair, who lived on the corner of Hammond Road and Bay Road, said to us the first time we tried to buy it, I think she had died by the second attempt, she said that was the social centre off the street.
Oh, okay.
And I suppose the gullies with their five children and the tennis court, it would have been very... And it was very central on the street.
Well, that's interesting. Can you describe the streetscape in the 1960s when you first moved in there, and were there a lot of trees, the verges, were there many vacant lots?
The street itself was quite well known for its plane trees, English plane trees and Cape lilacs.
If you said, I live in Hammond Road, that's the one with the trees.
Remembered. The trees were in those days so big that they made like an avenue.
They really were a feature.
So they touched across the
top. A lot of lilacs. They got butchered over the years. So that was a main feature. Empty blocks. Only the one next to us at 27, which of course has since been built on. But I don't think there were any other vacant blocks.
No.
I'm sure there were not. But there have been quite a few changes to existing homes, and also some homes have gone.
Yeah.
The house opposite us at 27, where Molly and Arnold Bird lived with their three children, that's since gone, and there's a newer place being built there.
And on the other side of this vacant block, where
we'd
said that the sheep had been used, there were two quite interesting little cottages. They were typical little cottages with the front veranda and lean-to at the rear. And
Weatherboard.
Yeah. Your 1920s, 1930s workers' cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Very much that type of thing.
Tiny and quaint. I don't know if you've been put in touch with Paul and Shirley Yu, but they lived at one of those houses, which would have been probably about 21.
Okay.
And that's the one with the huge brick wall now, very modern place. But before they demolished, they got somebody to come and make a little pottery, like a little replica of the frontage of the old place, which would be interesting to see if you had the opportunity.
What about street lighting? There was street lighting when you arrived there, or
yes, that
wasn't changed until the recent underground lighting.
Yeah.
But it was much the same. Always quite adequate.
So basically, the streetscape to your left changed mainly with houses being demolished
and new houses being built.
Anyway,
I'd like to talk about the people who lived in the street when you arrived in the 60s. Firstly, if you could tell me a bit about yourselves. I mean, you were working at the Teachers College as a...
We were both teachers, and we met at University of Western Australia. That's where we met, and that's where we had our courtship.
Yeah.
at the university. And straight after we were married, we took this exchange to Buckinghamshire in England, and we worked with the Buckinghamshire Education Authority. And that was a marvellous start for a young marriage
to
both get work in another country, and that was very exciting.
That was great fun.
And when you came, when after you had the children, did you go back to work, or did you?
I worked briefly at the in what was then the third of three terms of the school year, which the training college followed. They needed someone to lecture in English at the Teachers College, and I was handy and had the qualifications, and so they said, you know, can you just come in for the end of the year to fill in, which I did, and that was great, because then that gave us the funding to go to the UK, which we'd wanted to do in George's long service leave, so that was good. So we were away most of 71. Third child, Rosemary, was born in early 72, and when she was about three or four, they asked me to go back to the college and lecture in music, which I did very reluctantly, because I didn't feel that qualified or confident. But they said, look, you know the college, you know, it's just a holding situation. So with some anxiety, back I went, and from there into the junior primary department, and from there into the reading department, where I then stayed for about 20 years. It was under different names, and finished up for me as language education.
We had one year which was interesting chronologically, in that we were both working at the Claremont Teachers College, and on part of that land was the little East Claremont Demonstration School on the corner. And in one of the years we had two children in the upper primary, and Rosemary just starting in the lower primary, and Ruth and I both working at the college. So we all got dressed together, and we all walked up to work or school together.
That would have been 1978. It was the first year we were there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your children, where they went to school.
Yes.
What about...
They all went there.
Mm-hmm.
We'd booked Hilary and Alan, the twins, into MLC in Christchurch, but they jacked up and said they didn't want to go there. They wanted to go to Hollywood High School, which really was great for them.
In
the end, they all went to Hollywood. Yes.
That's good. And what about, were there many other families on the street?
Well, I mentioned Paul and Shirley Yu a minute ago, Gavin and Jennifer Yu were there, and I think Jenny might have been a year older or round about the same age as ours, who were born in 66.
There weren't many children on the street, weren't a lot, actually. Apart think from about that. They were mostly middle-aged or elderly people, by and large. At the time that we were raising children, there were not many other children on the street.
Yes, but then a little bit younger than ours, Dr. Jeff Gibbs and his wife Carol lived almost opposite us, and they had Ashley Page and Nathan. Then they left the area when the children were probably in their teens, I think. But they weren't there for terribly long, just maybe 3 or 4 years at most. The Eldridges followed them, and their children were younger again, so much so that Hilary used to babysit occasionally, or look after them after school, that kind of thing, when she would have been late teens and they would have been primary school age.
So what about the other people's occupations in the street? Were they mainly professionals or tradespeople?
Oh, very mixed. The chap across the way had been in the motor car industry in some capacity, either running garages or doing repairs. That was his job.
Feathers. They called him Feathers. Feathers Bird. They had three children who were older than ours.
And on the corner next to us in when we were at 27.
Keep going, sorry.
We did stop it, it's such a temperamental thing.
We had the Sinclairs who were living there, and Mr. Sinclair had some type of accountancy position at some stage.
And they had two children who had grown up in that area. Yeah. They were older than us. They had already married and gone before we got there. There were the Lewis twins, Andrew and Simon, I think, who bought the first of the little wooden cottages on the other side of the block from us. And then did they buy from the Wisbys? I think John Wisby, who's now a judge, he and his wife... they might have had their third daughter there, I'm not sure. But they were in that house too, I'm not sure. I think it was the Wisbys, then the Lewises.
Mm.
And then the Lewises subsequently bought Sinclairs that were on the other side of us. So they also had two places in the same street, virtually.
Next to us, when we were at 15, next door on the eastern side, was the Block family. And they now would be the longest residing people in that street. Mrs. Block is still residing there. And they initially had the little kiosk on Garden Island. When Garden Island was a recreation area, they had the little kiosk on Garden Island, ran that for some years, and then
did they rent their place out while, or
no,
did they continue living
there? No, I think
it
was owned by their mother, actually.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Block's mother,
Eve Cook.
Mrs. Cook.
Lived there, and I don't know when she died. But Jim, was it Jim Block?
But after the Blocks.
She's Johnny, and he died before the mother-in-law died.
I'm not sure whether they moved direct from Garden Island, but if you can get an interview with Mrs. Block, and you might not, because she's not terribly well. But if you can, she could verify a lot of the history of the street.
I think she grew up there as a girl, and then left when she married, and then came back to look after her mother.
Oh, okay.
I think that was it. But they were there before we came into the street in 66.
Mm.
They'd been living there.
Mm-hmm. So what about your children? Where did they play on the... on the street, or what did they play?
Never on the street.
At your place?
It was such a big block, and we had a lovely big swimming pool. We had a little swimming pool at the first house above ground, but we put in a big swimming pool in our second house.
Mm-hmm. By then all the children could swim.
Our house was, without doubt, the centre for the children in the street. We always had children galore, and we had big trees, and cubby houses in the trees. There was always the children were always in our place.
I remember coming home one time and there were 17 children in the pool.
Oh, really?
But this is when they were in their teenage years. They were never swimming unsupervised as younger ones.
They became quite good swimmers as a result.
Mm.
But when we were at the other house, the first house at 27, with this empty block next door, that was a great meeting place. They had tunnels through the lupins and the long grass.
Okay.
And the farmer, I think unwisely,
parked
we thought that
there.
The truck was dumped. And so we didn't stop the children playing on it. They somehow found an old sofa or the seat of the thing. And they used to get up on this and they could, I think they could watch the showground. The lights, the fireworks at the showground from there. There was quite a meeting place. Anyway, some time after this, it turned out that it was parked, not dumped.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they had done some damage, so that wasn't a good time. But we didn't really blame the kids because it was just stuck out in the middle of this paddock and it didn't really look as though it was very cared for. Maybe it was dumped and then he rethought this. Yes, okay.
Was there a sense of community in the street? Did you organise street parties or barbecues?
On the whole, the people there were fairly conservative, and I think most of the friendships and acquaintances we had were more through the children.
Oh,
and
okay.
I guess we were busy too. I've never known of a street party there, although the people who lived opposite us at number 8 when we were at number 15. They came from South Africa and they had some group, I think mainly of South Africans, that used to meet, but there were quite a few in that area.
Okay.
But as a Hammond Road street party, no, I've never known of anything like that.
And did you share many things like, I don't know, child minding with the people in the street? Or
when we were at number 27, our place backed onto the side of the people who were then at 12 Bay Road,
mm-hmm.
and their eldest child was a year older than our twins, and then their next one was pretty much the same age, and their third daughter was the same age as our Rosemary. So there was a lot of coming and going. We actually put a gate through the fence.
Oh,
so
okay.
Some coming and going. No, not a huge amount of babysitting. We were fortunate in terms of my husband being an only child and his parents lived in they had a unit in Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
So they were usually on call for any desperate occasions when we needed babysitters. They popped it.
What about shopping and things like that? Where would you go to do your shopping? Or
almost always down into Claremont when the babies were little. I would walk down, because we just had the one car then, and I would walk down and carry stuff home with the twin stroller. Later on, when George's parents moved and were closer to us, and his father was always looking for something to do but wasn't very strong enough to do much, but they made Saturday morning shopping their thing.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yes, I was very spoiled in not doing a huge amount of shopping except when the children were quite little.
Mm-hmm.
But the two blokes would go off and buy enormous amounts of food. Long, lazy lunches, and that was pretty much Saturday.
And did other people in the street, did they mainly use Claremont as their...
As far as I know, yes. Yeah, it's always been a good shopping centre. And we had Tom the Cheap there, of course, years ago. And, with various changes, there's always been a good, very adequate supermarket. And, of course, we used to where Dewson's is now. Before that was Foodland, and there was nothing there for a long time, but a long time ago it was the headquarters of Charlie Carter's when that was a big change.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's always been a supermarket pretty close by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about your social life with things like the cinema or eating out? Is there anything like that around Claremont?
Well, you could always count on the Windsor for good programmes.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to come back briefly to the shopping. Because, of course, where the Bay Road pantry is now, there was a corner shop that wasn't on the corner, and that was run for years by people by the name of Greg. And, going up to Greg's was the thing to do, and it was safe enough for the children to go up there if we ran out of bread or milk.
Okay.
Or a major shop. It was always one of the big supermarkets. Yes.
And how long was that? Had that been there, do you know?
Forever, I think. I mean, if you drive past, you'll see it's the old style shop, and that was expanded, after Greg's left, the people made it a little bit bigger, and I think it's changed hands probably twice since then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's become a very busy, effective little shop with, you know, coffee and lunches and things like that attached, which they didn't ever do. But it's always been efficient and pleasant people there.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Coming back to your other question about the cinema and stuff like that. Yes, the Windsor and the whatever was on in Dalkeith, where they used to have an open-air garden as well. But I guess for most of our lives we've both worked, and with that and the children, we would more often have friends at home to play bridge or something like that, rather than going out. These days, I'm afraid, we're a bit lazy. We're only tourists. More inclined to pop down to the Chinese village in Broadway,
mm-hmm.
where our main eating out spot.
Mm-hmm.
But then, with three kids, it was we didn't eat out so much.
No, no. And also being so close to the Swan River, did that play a big part in your lives?
It did. And the Alan, our son, and his friends in particular, were great on building rafts.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have movie of them launching probably two or three rafts off Claremont Jetty, and you know, there's just plastic bottles of this and that poured over it. I think some were doomed to sink, but we always retrieved them. They're not still there. But yes, the river was very important.
Mm-hmm.
They swam at the pool at Davies Road.
Mm-hmm.
Would have had swimming lessons there when they were very little, that we used to go down to Dalkeith School. There were classes for beginners at Dalkeith.
Yeah.
But Davies Road was quite important, and in fact I realised when they were little they used to refer to it as Bathers Road, which amazed me. I suppose they thought you'd go there in your bathers.
Yeah. And also, it was during the 60s and 70s, was a time of women's liberation and things. Did you see much of that, the effect of that in the street in regards of...
I don't recall that I did, although now you've asked the question that ideas might come. I guess because I sort of fell into work myself, and that just really kept me very busy. I can remember having a few big arguments with people who thought that I ought not to be working.
With people in the street? So
the street, but acquaintances, not close friends even, but people who would suddenly attack you and say, well, you know, you've got one person employed, and I'd think, well, you know, I'm not taking someone else's job because they asked me to come in. But I don't think I had time to sort of think about whether I was liberated or not. I probably wasn't.
But what about other women in the street that you met or you knew or anything? Did they work or...?
The people that bought the house straight opposite when we were at 27, now let me think about them, it was John and Penny Fowler. They had three children, very similar in ages to ours, and their youngest was a little boy, Ian, the same age as Rosemary. So when I was asked to go back to work, I thought, well, I can't quite cope unless we've got some fixed arrangement for Rosemary. And Penny was a trained nurse and also looking for something. So she used to mind Rosemary and her Ian and do light housework for us.
Oh, okay.
And they would come and go between the two homes, which was very convenient for us, but unfortunately the arrangement didn't last for very long because they went back to England.
Oh, okay.
So briefly, they have since returned, but at that time they went back. So then Rosemary was booked in at the Children's House, it was called, run by Gay Cook and Bernadette Jambazi, and that was in Williams Road in Netherlands, and that was excellent. And by then she was at University Kennedy too, sort of part-time.
Okay.
It's always the lunchtime run to take a bit of children's house, as she used to call it, children's house, to uni kindy, or vice versa.
And the Vietnam War, did that affect the street in any way, or did people serve in it? Or
I can't recall that anyone would have gone, not to my knowledge.
No. What about the peace movement, was that strong?
I guess, you see, people there were all older than we were, almost all of them.
Mm.
about this.
No,
I
no, nothing to feel bad about.
We would say hi, but we were so busy ourselves.
No, I was just trying to place the street in I don't know, sort of find out about how outside influences might have affected it in any way.
Nothing that springs to mind, but if I think of anything, I'll let you know. Just on who lived there, I'll come back to the corner of George Avenue and Hammond, and it's number 16, I presume it's 16 Hammond, and that was owned briefly, I think, or at least they lived there, by my uncle Ted Routledge and his wife Alice, when they had their first baby, my cousin Sandra. And somewhere, I shall try to find it, I have a photograph of them on the front stairs, which are unchanged. The whole house has become two-storey. The front porch is just the same as it was then.
Right.
And that would have been around the early 40s, and I don't know if they owned it or how briefly they lived.
Yeah, they did own it.
They owned it.
I looked it
up.
And when did you leave Hammond Road?
Just about 2 years ago, August 27, 2002.
And why?
Well, because our children had all left home and we were downsizing, and we wanted to spend more time at Yundaruff. We wanted to be free to travel. The place was it was a lovely home, but it was very, you know, large, just for two of us, and it just seemed to be a good time to downsize.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. And is there anything that you'd like to add that we haven't gone over?
We haven't gone over. Okay. I must mention our late next-door neighbour, who was Mr. B, the optometrist, optician, and Mr. Buckridge, Richard Buckridge, whose son Len is quite well-known. And Mr. Buckridge was our next door neighbour for many years, and he had a dear little dog called Freddie. And Freddie was very tiny and got very anxious when our children went in the swimming pool. This is at number 15. And Freddie would come darting through the fence and run around the edge, barking furiously and trying desperately to rescue the children out of the pool. Of course, would tease him, I suppose, but Freddie was a darling, and we were all very upset. I think he got hit by a car on Stirling Highway, so that was, and Richard was devastated by this, but he was a dear old chap. We were very fond of him, and we were on his list of people to contact if he got ill, and we were there when we had to call an ambulance and get him away to hospital, and that was the day he died, so... We were very sad about that, when Freddie went and then when Richard went. Talking of the swimming pool reminds me of the wild ducks that used to visit, and you'd hear this sort of whoosh, splash, as two of them would land feet first, and we had a dog called Misha at that stage, and Misha was a German shepherd, and she got very alarmed about the ducks in her swimming pool, which she was the most regular user of. And she wouldn't get in to the pool when they were in there, but she would run from side to side. And the ducks would be very... They were these mountain ducks, I think. The ones that always look as though they're smiling. And they would just serenely glide from one side to the other, and the dog would be dashing madly around the side trying to get the ducks. And be very unsuccessful. Yes,
great.
Little memories. And the other thing I must say is about the Willy Wagtails, and how delighted I was when, after about 25 years of waiting for Willy Wagtails to return to Claremont, just before we left Hammond Road, they had started to come back, and there were some that would flit through our garden, which was an absolute joy. So,
thank you. That's great.